Let's all say amen. Amen. David recorded in the 122nd division of Psalms. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. So there should be in us, if we have the spirit that David had, that I'm glad that I'm here on this morning. Amen. I'm glad that I'm able, that someone said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. You know, I was just thinking that might be something that we can begin to do. Simply call someone and say to them, I will see you in the house of the Lord. Amen. And then I was glad when that person said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. This morning, I want to speak from the subject title in John 4 and 23. Thank the brother for reading in our hearing. I want to speak from the subject, worship that is in spirit, because God is spirit. Amen. Yeah. Worship that is in spirit, because God is spirit. 3 points I want to expound from the Word of God today, or this morning. I want the worshiper, which is you and me, to have a clear biblical understanding of the word worship this morning. I want the worshiper to understand what in spirit means by seeing that the worshiper is a trichotomy, meaning that the worshiper, there are three parts of the worshiper. And also, we want to revisit, how do we know what to do in worship? Because if we are not doing that which is scriptural, then our worship is not biblical.
Amen.
Yeah. And we live in a time now that we don't realize that we are now in the Lord's church, and some congregations are putting more emphasis on the worshiper than the one who is to be worshipped. There is only one person in this audience this morning. The only person that's in the audience this morning is God himself. All of us are to be participatory in worship. Yeah. But I want us to see from the Word of God what God has said, and hopefully it'll do for you what it has done for me, because as I was studying God's Word, there are things that I saw that were not proper in my spirit, that as we say sometimes, as we learn better, we ought to. And so in John 4:23, again, worship that is in spirit, because God is a spirit. Verse 23, brother. Oh.
But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him.
Yeah, now. Jesus said in John 4:23, he says, but the hour cometh, and it now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father. How? In spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God would not have given us a command to do something and not told us exactly what to do. But when we look at the word true worshiper, the word true worshiper means one that is real, one that is genuine, as our young people might say, somebody who's in worship that's keeping it 100. Yeah. I can be in worship, and if I'm not real, if I'm not keeping it 100, I can be in here, and I'm going to talk about that this morning. Some of us, we come into worship, and we worshiping at 50. Yeah. You can be here sitting up here, and I'm worshiping at 40. But what Jesus said, that the true worshiper shall worship the Father. And that word worshiper means, by definition, a kiss towards someone. So when we're worshiping God, God have given us acts that we're offering a kiss to him. That's what the word worshiper means. A kiss that is made toward someone. And in this case, God is the one that's receiving our kiss. And then the word worship, by definition, worship is something that is done to honor someone because of the strong sense of love that you have for that individual. Yeah. Worship is something that is done to honor someone because of the strong sense of love that you have for that individual. We offer this love through a devotional service. The love that we offer to God, and understand, it's a strong sense of love. Yeah. And so God has given us commands that we are now offering up a devotional service to God. God is the audience. All of us are participatory in the offering. We ought to have a strong, notice I said, a strong sense of love.
Amen.
Yeah. And all of us should have loved something or somebody. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. I think there was a song that said, it's so good. It's so good when somebody loves you. Yeah, y'all know the song. You may as well say it. Yeah. Yeah. And so what we're doing is, let me show you how this makes sense. Because some people say, well, he got up there and he talked about, no, I'm showing you John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that's why the song says, it's so good when somebody loves you back. It's good to God when we love him back. There are five acts of acceptable worship. Notice I said that. There are five acts of acceptable worshiper that that the true worshiper offer as a kiss towards God. Amen. Five acts that the true worshiper. And see, well, as I said before, we're doing things in worship now that was not commanded by God. These are not acts of God. But every one we're going to revisit briefly to show us what have God said. Get from Acts 2:41. Yeah. Because we're going to see in verse 42, there are four acts. And then in verse 47, there is a fifth act of worship. And these are how we offer a kiss toward God How? Because he's commanded it. In Acts chapter 2, Brother Owens, in verse number 41, what does the Bible say?
Then they that gladly received his word were baptized.
Mm-hmm.
And the same day, they were added unto them about 3,000 souls.
Now notice this here, and I'm going to get to this, that the Bible says, then they that gladly received his word. So gladly means I'm happy to hear the word of God. If I'm here this morning, I ought to be happy to hear the word of God. Those that we teach, and when they're not happy or gladly to receive the word of God, then those that are visiting with us this morning are hoping, I'm going to share with you what God, we hope that this scripture here applies to you, that you will gladly hear his word. We're going to give you instruction from God that you will be baptized. And the Bible says in the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And then he talks about the acts of word. Notice the Bible says on the same day. Yeah, on the same day that Peter preached the gospel, on that same day they participated in five acts of worship, offering a kiss toward God. Verse number 42.
And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers.
Okay, so now, let's look at this biblically. The Bible says, first of all, they continue steadfastly in apostle doctrine. Apostle doctrine, this includes the act of either teaching, preaching, or Bible reading. Get from the Titus 1:9. We're going to give Bible for everything this morning. Amen? Amen. Titus 1:9. Let me get there with you. In case my reader get off. Verse number 9, what does the Bible say?
Holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught,
yeah,
that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers.
Now, in this text, Paul was writing to Titus, and he was talking about a characteristic of an elder. And he said one characteristic, he has to be able to hold firm the faithful word as he has been what?
Taught.
You have to be taught. That he may be able, notice, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince those that are in opposition to the word of God. So when you come together, when we study the word of God, when the word of God is taught, and I want to say this, anytime a preacher at Highland Heights stand up, you have a right to pull on anything that's preached. Amen, somebody. If I say something that you don't agree with, you have a right to question me. And I have to respond to you in the proper spirit. Yeah, you have a right to question. Brother Stroud, you said something, I don't understand that. You know, Brother Stroud, well, I don't understand. Can you show me? And my response is to show you. Mm-hmm. And then when you say to me, Brother Stroud, I disagree with what you said on that. And I say, that's fine. Where's your scripture? Yeah, because oftentimes you find members want to argue, ain't got no book, chapter, and verse. Amen. All they want to do is argue. No one will go to heaven based on what they feel.
Amen.
Yeah, you have that right. But apostles' doctrine is when the word of God is read, when it is preached, when it is taught. Secondly, we have fellowship. Now, Romans 15:26, and this fellowship is not the same fellowship that John was talking about in 1 John 1. This fellowship has to do with our communing, our contribution. Yeah. The word fellowship in this text means to give something such as money or to give a contribution. We have, we give back from as the Lord blessed us. In Romans 15, and verse number 26, Brother Owens, what does it say?
For it had pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem.
Yeah, so the Bible teaches here that it pleased those that were of Macedonia and Achaia. What they did, they made a contribution. Yeah, and on Sunday, when we collect those of us that have earned, we ought to make a contribution. In this case, they gave this contribution in to the poor saint. This is the text you use. Let me just teach this here. This is the text you use for 1 Corinthians 16. This is not the text to use when it comes to giving. That's 2 Corinthians 9. Amen, somebody. Because this was a free will offering. I'm just showing the word contribution. This was a free will. Notice it said, the Bible said it pleased them to make for the poor saint. There was a collection made for the poor saint because of what they was going through in Jerusalem. That's not our scripture. And so when I get up and if I'm using 1 Corinthians 16, let's go there. 1 Corinthians 16 when it comes to giving. Yeah. He said, now concerning the collection for the, notice it's for the who?
Saints.
As I have given order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in store, as God has promised you, there be no gathering when I come. Notice, this was a collection for the saints. But when it comes to giving to God, go to 2 Corinthians. Amen, somebody. Some good teaching anyhow. So our giving, notice, what God does through the Apostle Paul is it has us look at ourselves and look at the spirit of the giver. In verse 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 6, Brother Ode.
But this I say,
yeah,
he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully.
So the scripture text is, Paul said, understand this here. He that give sparingly will reap sparingly. However, the one that gives bountifully shall reap bountifully. Now notice verse 7. Every man,
according as he purposed in his heart,
so let him do what?
Give.
How?
Not grudgingly
or
of necessity,
for
God loveth a cheerful giver.
That's the mindset of the giver. Amen, somebody. So when we give to God, my mindset is that I have to purpose in my heart, I give, but understand this here, I am a cheerful giver. I'm not giving it out of restraint. The word grudgingly means if you are concerned about what you're giving, don't give it. Yeah. And understand this is also in my giving. God don't need my giving. God allows me an opportunity to give. Amen? So it's the giving that we have the word fellowship is used. And then we have the breaking of bread, Brother Ode, 1 Corinthians 10, 16. 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 16. Hopefully, those of us that are studious are taking notes. Amen? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you question me, I'm going to say, what scripture did I give? What verse did I give? Well, Pastor, I don't agree with that. I understand that. Where your verse? Well, I just feel, I ain't asked you how you feel. I didn't feel good either this morning. Verse 16.
The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?
Read.
The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?
So when we commune with the Lord, Paul said to them, is this not the blood of Christ? Then he asked him, he said, now, and the bread which we break, is it not the body of Christ? So when we take the Lord's Supper, we are participating in Christ's body being broken and his blood being shed.
Amen.
Yeah. But again, that is only one part of worship service. Yeah. And all of these I must do in order that I do is I'm offering the kiss that God has commanded, and there are five acts. And then we have prayer. Go to James 5 and 16. So, again, the breaking of bread is simply the Lord's Supper that we're taking. The Lord's Supper. And then in James 5:16.
Confess your faults one to another.
Yeah.
And pray one for another.
And do what for one another?
Pray one for another.
That
ye may be healed.
Read.
The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
That's the reason when we are closed and people ask for prayer. Because the Bible has, and again, let me define, prayer is a request made always to God by the Christian. No one else does God receive their prayer but a Christian. Yeah, let me clarify that. And you are not teaching a person properly when you tell somebody that's not a Christian, please pray for me. Because that person can't pray to God. They can pray to God, but God is not hearing their prayer.
Amen.
And what you're doing actually is deceiving that person to think they have a relationship with God.
Amen,
Amen somebody.
Amen.
You don't have a relationship with God until you obey God. So there are five acts of worship that God has commanded. And so when I come in, that's four of them. And then Acts 2:47, Brother Owens. So again, we have the apostles' doctrine, or you can teach from the Word of God. We also had that they had they gave a contribution back for how God had blessed them. They participated in the breaking of bread, which is the Lord's Supper and prayer. And then in verse number 47 of Acts chapter 2, that's the fifth act of acceptable worship to God. What does the Bible say?
Praising God,
yeah,
and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
So we find here that we are to praise God. Amen. But then God, remember, everything that God asked us to do, he gave us scripture how to do it. Look at Acts 16:25. Acts 16 and verse number 25, when it comes to singing.
And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them.
Yeah, so now what I'm clarifying for you is that in this case, the praising to God was done through singing. They sang praises to God. When we come here, and let me say this here, let us be careful about the songs that are sung and selected, because if we're not careful, if that song is not biblical, then we ought not be singing it. Yeah, there are some songs that we sing that, remember, the song are praising God.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, give me an example, Brother Stroud. I don't sing a hard-fighting soldier. They ain't giving praise to God. Yeah. Now, I say me. I'm not talking about you. What you want to do. I'm talking about me. Because a hard-fighting soldier is not giving praise, but they sing praises to God. They thank God for who God was. We thank God for Jesus. We thank God for what God has done in our lives. So I'm saying to all of us, let's make sure that we are careful that our songs are giving praise, because the Bible says in the text, they sang praises unto God. Mm-hmm. Now, how do I do that? Hebrews 13, Brother Owens, verse 15. See, God didn't leave it up to none of us. God. Hebrews 13 and verse number 15, Brother Owens.
By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise
to
God
continually. Notice this here. When we give, that's a sacrifice. When we sing, that is a sacrifice. So what a sacrifice is, offering something. The word sacrifice simply means to offer something. So Paul, the Hebrew writer, said, by him, therefore, let us notice. That's what the word sacrifice means. It's in the text. It means to offer. The sacrifice, how is it? Of praise to God. Read, Brother Owens.
Continually.
Yeah.
That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name.
Yeah. So when we, and notice now, we are singing. Yeah. I can say to you, Rush Dow, will you play that song for me? I'm playing a song. There's only two ways. Either a song is instrumental or it's vocal. I just played a song. I played a song. But the Bible tells us that this praise to God is done through the fruit of my lips. Here. Now watch what he says here. And what the fruits of my lips should be doing is giving thanks to his name. Amen. That's why I said myself, I'm careful that when I sing songs, I want to make sure it's giving thanks to God.
Amen.
Yeah. Those are the five acts of worship. Now let me show us how this works. Romans 8:16. I want to give, as I've learned, I like to give the evidence and then make the conclusion. So in Romans chapter 8, for those, and verse number 16, what does the Bible say?
The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit.
Yeah.
That we are the children of God.
So now, the Holy Spirit has given instructions to our spirit that we are the children of God. So the Holy Spirit is the one that's giving the instructions on how to worship God. So it's the Holy Spirit that witness. The word witness here means to show. So the Holy Spirit, through the writers of the New Testament, Paul, James, and others, what they've done is the Holy Spirit, notice he said, beareth witness or show our spirit how that we become children of God and how we worship God. So it's about your spirit. Mm-hmm. It's about your spirit. Now I said that man is a trichotomy. Get from 1 Thessalonians. See, sometimes you get up here and you use words, and then it's the part. If I know it's the responsibility of the preacher. If I give something that I don't know the word, then you need to explain the word. Yeah. Is it 5:23? Is that it? But I need. Let me get my Bible. Let me get my Bible. Yeah, let me make sure I'm giving you the right verse, Brother Old. That's it? Yeah, well, the young preacher said that's it. That's it. Yeah. Read verse 23.
And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly.
Yeah.
And I pray God.
Now, Paul said, now I'm going to pray to God.
Your whole spirit,
and soul,
and body,
be
preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so that makes man a trichotomy. He said, well, Pastor, what's a trichotomy? Well, let me help you out a little bit. I know when I was little, and the first time I got a chance, I wasn't old enough to ride a bicycle, but I could ride a tricycle. And the one thing I knew about a tricycle have how many wheels? Yeah. So simply a trichotomy, when you see the word tri, that means three. And those of us that take medication, you know, when they tell you to take that medication tri, that means three times a day. When they say bi, that means two times a day. Yeah. Yeah. And so God made man a trichotomy. What's your point, Brother Stroud? Is because the thing that connects with God is our spirit. Because when we die, the body is going to go back to the... Yeah. And the spirit that God gave us is going to go back to... Yeah, Ecclesiastes. But the soul is what's going to live forever. So we worship God through our spirit. Yeah. Let me talk about some of our spirits. In worship. Get from me John 4:24. Jesus wrote,
God is a spirit.
Uh-huh.
And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Yeah. Jesus said that God is a spirit. And they that worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. We know truth is the word of God, but I want to share with us about what, and notice now, we're worshiping him. We're not worshiping ourselves. Mm. We're not here to entertain ourselves.
Amen.
But I know even in the Lord's body, preachers are now are giving in to what the worshiper wants. No, God is the one that's the audience again. And we have to look at what does he mean by in spirit. How does the true worshiper worship in spirit? The phrase in spirit refers to the proper attitude of the heart and mind of the worshiper. Yeah. There's a certain attitude that needs to be proper when I come to worship God, and my worshiping comes from my heart and mind. The worshiper must engage his spirit in the worship activity. What do you mean, Brother Stroud? Give for me, get sure it's 2 points. Luke 19, Brother Oles. What is meant by the spirit or being in spirit? And as I'm going across some surface now, I'm going to step on your toes. I'm going to step on my toes. And I may just break all your... yeah. In Luke 19, and the verse is number 47. Brother Oles, Luke 19, I'm sorry, and verse... number 47. I want us to see something here. 2 points I want to share with us on that, as I'm talking about being in spirit. In verse 47, the Bible says what?
And he taught daily in the temple.
Uh-huh.
But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him.
So now Jesus was teaching daily in the temple. Now I want you to see the mind of the listener. Verse 48.
And could not find what they might do.
Now, notice he says that what happened was the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people, what they wanted to do was destroy the Lord. The Bible said, but they could not find what they might do, for
all the people were very attentive to hear him.
Yeah. So the question on the floor, how attentive are you doing worship service? How attentive? And the word attentive, let me help us with it. Definition means paying careful attention to something. How are you as you are in worship? Are you paying attention? Mm. Yeah. Am I playing with the baby? Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Now, I'm saying that to say that there are some cases where if I have little ones, we want to train them to stay in worship. Mm-hmm. But I'm also letting us know, too, that if I have someone that I'm caring for, I am distracted in my worship. Mm-hmm. The text says, Brother Ho, for all the people, what kind of attentive?
Very attentive.
Yeah. Very means more than average. You know, when we was in school, some of us got good grades, and then some of us got very good grades. Yeah. And very good was always better than
good.
So what Luke wrote, that the attentiveness of the people was very focused on what they were hearing. Are you sitting in worship, and are you being distracted? Are you playing with your phone? Are you surfing the web? What are you doing when you're in worship? Because you are offering a worship to God. All of us are corporately worshiping, but we're also worshiping individually. Mm-hmm. So where's your attention? Mm-hmm. And I'm on my own toes. Mm. We come in sometime, we haven't gotten the proper rest we needed, mm-hmm. and we'll sit here sometime and we'll doze. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it goes back to me understanding. As I learn better, I'm going to start doing better. Yeah. Because here, these people were very attentive. Mm-hmm. Now watch this. Go to Acts 17:10. I'm talking about the spirit of the worshiper. Are you attentive? We sit back there. Where, you know, now, you see, when you don't understand that who's ever up here preaching is giving you the word of God, when you don't remember that or focus on that, you'll sit back there and do what you're doing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I just sit back there and I'm just back there and he's listening. And then when service is over, and we sometimes wondering why I'm not getting better in my character as a Christian, because you're not applying what you're hearing.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. James said, "Be ye doers of the word."
Hearers.
Yeah. Amen. But in Acts 17:10, talking about the spirit of the worshiper. And the brethren
immediately sent away Paul and Silas mm-hmm. by night unto Berea,
mm-hmm.
who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews.
So now, the Bible says that Paul and Silas, they were sent away by night, and then they came to where the Jews was worshiping. Now, watch the attitude of, and he tells us about two groups of people. Read.
These were more noble than those in Thessalonica.
Yeah, these from Berea was more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why?
In that they received the word with all readiness of mind.
Yeah.
And searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so.
See, when I am a true worshiper, the word readiness means to have voluntary enthusiasm. I asked my wife who was coming today, I say, Sister, I say, when you are getting ready to go on vacation, I say, do you get excited? She said, yeah. Mm-hmm. I say, do you make preparation before you are going? Yeah. I said, well, you are. I pack my bag. I do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I said, but now are you? I said, let me ask you something. I said, are you, when you all went and you and your family went to Chicago, I say, were you excited? Yeah, I was excited. Because she knew she was Chicago, they went to Canada, they went, yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought she wasn't coming back home, Brother O. Make your point, Brother Stroud. She was excited about where she was going. She made preparations before she left. And I'm saying to all of us, let me say this, in love. If you understand about worship, and you have a sense of love for the Lord, right, it wouldn't be my goal to get here at 9 o'clock. It wouldn't be my goal. Mm. And it is not my goal. My goal is going to be such, because I'm excited and I'm enthusiastic about worship service, I'm going to get it early. And I'm saying this to all of us. None of us should be coming at that door after 9 o'clock. And watch this here. It doesn't matter whether you stay across the street from the church mm-hmm. or you stay 4 years away from the church. Mm-hmm. You all ought to get here on time.
Amen.
Why? Because you know how long it takes for you to get here.
Right.
If your goal is always to get here at 9 o'clock, train stop you, anything stop you, you're going to be detained. That's right. But if you are self-enthused, if you are excited about worship and you want to be here, I won't never get here 9 o'clock if I can help it. Yeah. And I remember, and I'm talking about me because y'all talk about y'all get upset. I remember when we had the two children. Sister, you sitting there because they're going to come to you. I know how they are. These are gangsters in here. They'll do that anyway. I remember when the girls were little. Sister, you having Morgan, Destin, she over there, Morgan right here. Was it 5 o'clock we got up on Sunday morning? Or 5:30. Which one was, babe? She no. Put your hand up again, babe. How many, what time? Yeah. Because she knew then she had to do two heads that she had to prepare. She had to get herself dressed. and get ourselves ready. And so now we get up at 6 o'clock. She ain't doing no head, but her own. What you make, Buster? I'm serious about this here. You can't do the same. You got to know preparation has to be part of readiness.
Amen.
You got to prepare yourself.
That's right.
Back then, we got up. I would come in the morning, 5 o'clock every morning. I wake them up. Come, your mother got breakfast ready. Yeah. And see, a good slice of bacon, Brother Tim, will bring everybody to the kitchen. What say, Brother Ward? Good slice of bacon. Yeah. I'm talking about that thick slice, Brother Ward. See, you done taught me something. Yeah. Yeah. We only going to get it from Joe V's now, because you're going to get that thick slice. What I'm saying, Brother Shaw, just a little humor. We knew then that we had to get up that early in order for us to get out, be here on time. My goal has never been, my goal, wherever I go, and this is Brother Stroud, I'm talking personally now. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking personally. Wherever I go to worship, my goal is always to be there 30 minutes early. That's my goal. And I find sometimes when I visit congregation, you'll find out that sometimes there's nobody there. You get there, nobody there. Yeah. And then I think, and as a leader, we ought to set the example for the congregation. They ought to see us here early. Why? Because we are enthused and excited, and I'm saying all of us, part of my in spirit has to do with my readiness of mind.
Right.
I got to say to myself, I'm not going to be late to worship anymore.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard a couple of amens. You don't have to say it. Yeah, that's okay. I'm trying to help us. Yeah. Nobody. Unless something happens that are outside of my, but I'm gonna make all the preparatory steps. As I told you, with Sister Stroud going on vacation, not only was she excited, she made all the preparation.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because you're going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
When we come into worship God, we need to make preparations for worship. Get up on time.
Mm-hmm.
How you know you do it? Because you go to work.
Amen.
And you go on time. If you got somebody that's going to monitor you being on time, you're going to be on time. Let me show us the spirit part, Romans 12. Still talking about in spirit. Because even though we have a body, soul, and a spirit, it's a spirit by which we worship God. And I'm going to show us how that happens in Romans 12 and verse number 1, Brother Old. And I'm coming to a halt.
I beseech you, therefore, mm-hmm. brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice.
Notice the word sacrifice again.
Holy, acceptable unto God,
yeah.
which is your reasonable service.
Now watch this. We worship God in spirit through, notice what he said. Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, because of how merciful God has been to you, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. Not only is it holy, the word acceptable means well-pleasing to God. He said, which is your reasonable service. Now, we get this wrong a lot. The word reasonable here by definition means having the ability to learn or understand or the ability to reason with your mind. Here. We worship God, we offer service to God because we can think, we can reason, we can understand the five acts of worship that God, that's how we offer service to God. That's why you shouldn't find nowhere in the Lord body where you have praise teams and all the other things, all the innovation that preachers are doing to try to keep members here. If you don't appreciate the soundness of just doing something right, then you want to be someone to offer you stuff to keep you here, you wrong.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. I want to worship God. I want my worship to be acceptable to God because we're doing it by book, chapter, and verse. We ain't going to do, ain't going to be no bass miking.
Amen.
None. Not here. No. Won't be. Ain't nobody, ain't no praise team. We all that team.
Amen.
Like I said, I told somebody at work the other day, it ain't the name on the back of the jersey, it's the name on the front of the jersey. We are all Christians. And we worship God in spirit and in truth according to the Bible.
Amen.
And I think my sister said this the other day, I won't call no names up here, but she said the other day, we're studying the word, the sin of ingratitude, some of us ought to be thankful that this congregation is as sound as it is.
Amen.
Yeah. That this congregation not giving in to members and saying, well, I want this and I want that. I think we ought to start doing this here. You ought to be thankful that you got leaders that will stand flat-footed and say, this not happening. We're not going to become progressive. We're not going to do things just to hold members here.
Amen.
Because we are worshiping God when our spirit throughout, when the word spirit here means your mind, your heart. You're worshiping God, and my heart connects with the scripture, and that's how I often worship the God.
Amen.
Watch this in my last scripture, Romans 8 and 6. So, the spiritual person in Romans 12 is the one who seeks to come to an understanding of God's will and then obeys that will. That's the true worshiper. I want to understand what God's will is, and I want to worship God according to his will. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't get better in our life and our living because we ain't obeying the Bible.
Amen.
Yeah. How can I be here for 15, 20, 25, 10 years, and I haven't gotten better on something? And the word of God is designed to make me whatever God wants me to be. The word of God is able to do that. Brother, let me show that in the Bible. Get from me, Peter. Let me see if I want first or second Peter. And then you give me Romans, and I'm stepping down. Second Peter 1 and 3. I'm going to show us something. And people say, well, I didn't get, no, you got everything you need. Yeah. You ain't got nothing that you don't need. Because Peter said it. And whatever problems you got, you're supposed to be able to work them out. Mm. Yeah. Well, I got to work it out. When it comes to something spiritual, I'm talking about. 2 Peter 1, 3, what does the Bible say?
According as his divine power had given unto us all things.
Given unto us what?
All things.
Given unto us what?
All things.
That do what?
Pertain unto life and godliness.
Now, Peter said, let me go on record as saying, because of God's divine power, God has given to us, he's talking to Christians now, God has given to us all things. In other words, everything I need to live godly, Peter said God has given it to us. The reason I'm not living godly is because Satan sometimes will overrule in our hearts the word of God. Yeah, there's a war going on. There's a war going on. Look in Galatians. Galatians, let me share that. I don't want to say it and don't get Bible for it. Yeah. Galatians 5 and 16. Let me confirm what Peter said. He said, this I say then.
Walk in the Spirit.
If you walk in the Spirit.
And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Yeah, for?
The flesh lusted against the Spirit.
Yeah.
And the Spirit against the flesh.
And these are?
Contrary to one to the other.
So that?
Ye cannot do the things that ye would.
That's the reason. You ain't got to go to school to learn that. It's in the Bible. The reason I'm still struggling is because those behaviors that's in me are overriding the word of God that I get. And Paul said, Peter said it, Paul said it too. He said, let me just tell you something. I want to say this to you. If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Mm-hmm. For the flesh, the desires that we have in us, war against the word of God. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. That you cannot do what you want to do. And so until we get enough Bible in us, and understand this here about the word of God, when the Bible says that 1 Corinthians 3:16, I got to close now, but it talks about how the Spirit dwells in us. What the Word of God is saying is that we have something in us that influences us. The Word of God should influence our decision-making and influence our behavior. That's what the Word of God does. It influences us. But when you ain't got no Bible, you're going to act a fool like some of us act sometimes. Mm-hmm. I'll say it. And when you do, you need to repent. Mm-hmm. When you act like something that's not a Christian, you need to go to the person who you offended, and you need to apologize.
Amen.
And it don't matter whether the preacher or anybody else. Romans 8:6, I'm closing. My time is up. He said, for the carnal minded
is dead.
Yeah.
But to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
So what I'm saying is, I'm closing. We talked about what worship is. Hopefully you got a clear understanding of who is the audience and what worship means, of the honor to love, a strong sense of love that I have for God. That's why I come to worship him. Yeah, nobody have to talk to me about coming to worship. I'm just glad when they said, let us go to worship. But in spirit has to do with not only my preparation for worship, my behavior in worship. That's what Paul said in 1 Timothy 15, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself. Mm. Yeah, in worship, certain behavior. Mm. But I should also be attentive to the Word of God. Yeah. And Paul says, I close, he said, when we are carnal-minded, that results in spiritual death. He said, but when my mind, when I'm in the spirit and I'm spiritually minded, what happens, Paul? Paul said, not only do you have life, but you also have peace. So as I close, there's someone here today that's not a Christian. Get from Acts. How does one receive the Spirit of God? We that are Christian, we have the Spirit of God. And that's the Holy Spirit. But how do we get it? Acts 2:22. Brother, 2:22 through verse 24. I want you to share the gospel with those that are here. How do we get the Spirit? We first got to hear the gospel. You men of Israel,
hear these words.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs.
Yeah.
Which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know.
Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge
of God,
you have
taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain.
So what God is saying, what Paul was saying with them, the gospel is, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you need to understand that God loved you enough. I said to love you back. You loving him back because he loved you. He gave us Jesus. Jesus came down here. They crucified him on the cross. They murdered Jesus. He died on the cross 6 hours with nails in his hands and feet. Wicked hands took him. They murdered him. You need to know that Jesus died for your sin. He was buried. He rose again the third day, never to die again. And then verse 24, he said, whom God
had raised up,
yeah,
having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it.
So what you need to know today, how do I become a Christian? How do I get the Spirit of God? You first need to hear that God loved you enough that Jesus came, the Jesus of Nazareth came here. He died for your sin and my sin on the cross. God raised him up from the death. He died, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And now what you need to do, you need to imitate God, what Jesus did, and do the same thing that Jesus did. And then Peter said in verse 37 and 38 as I close, what did he say?
Now when they heard this,
yeah,
they were pricked in their heart,
uh-huh,
and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?
So if you're here today and you heard this message, you want to become a Christian, you can't be nothing else, nothing more, nothing less, but a Christian according to the Bible. If you want to become a Christian, then if this word has pricked your heart, you should be saying, what shall I do? And then Peter, you've heard the gospel. If you believe the gospel, what should they do now, Brother Old?
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
So what I do now, Brother Stroud, you come down and you repent of all of your sin, then you are baptized the word remission means forgiveness of sin. And the only other thing we'll ask you to do, according to Acts 8:37, you'll make the confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You made that confession. We'll baptize you. God will give you his spirit that you don't have until you'll obey him and you'll become a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ, the only church you can read about in the Bible. And so today, hopefully, we have looked at worship that is in spirit because God is spirit as we together stand and sing.